In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday we looked at these 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were not wise. 5 did not have enough oil. The oil is the oil of the Holy Spirit. If we are going to continue in our walk with Jesus, we need the oil of the Holy Spirit, the oil of gladness, the oil that God gives us from the throne of grace. How much we need the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth." How we need the Holy Spirit. It tells us in Luke, "If how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" We need the oil of the Holy Spirit as we continue to walk with Jesus day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" So we ask you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to dwell within our hearts. We want the oil of gladness to flood us. We want that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead to dwell in our hearts. Amen and amen. Then we looked at the talents, that a talent was worth $960, and one received 5 talents and doubled it, another 2 and doubled it, and the other one buried his talent in the ground, and the Lord was upset with him. Why? Because he could have been giving it to the banks and got interest. We need to use our money in ways that bless the kingdom of God. Not only that, I'm not saying you don't use money for yourself, but we need to tithe our money. We need to tithe our money, because if God cannot trust us with money, filthy lucre, how can he trust us with people? That's what it says, that everyone who has shall be given more, and he shall have an abundance, but from him that hath not, it shall be taken away. Then we looked at the judgment of the nations, that the Lord Jesus separates the sheep from the goats. And he tells the people, "When I was hungry, you gave me to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was sick and in prison, you came to visit me. When I was naked, you clothed me." And they will say, "Lord, when did we do this to you, Lord?" And they'll say, the Lord will say, "As long as you did it to the least of my friends, you did it to me." We know that grace through faith, which brings good works. Then the others will say, "We didn't know, Lord, that you were hungry. We didn't know you were thirsty. We didn't know. We didn't know." He said, "As long as you didn't do it to the least of my friends, you didn't do it to me." It's as simple as that. So we want to care for Jesus. And again, Jesus doesn't look like Jesus when the people come. Doesn't look like Jesus, but we want to care for the poor and the broken and the needy. God has love for the poor, the broken, and the needy. The Anawim, the poor and lowly of Yahweh. I'm looking at the 26th chapter of Matthew. "And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings," the one about the 10 virgins, the one about the judgment of the nations, the one about the talents, "he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man will be betrayed and crucified." Jesus has told this to the disciples 3 times now. "Then assembled together the chief priests and scribes and the elders of the people unto the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. And they consulted that they might take Jesus and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, not on the day of Passover, lest there be an uproar among the people. So in order for them to get Jesus, there's got to be a betrayer. And we know who the betrayer is. The betrayer is Judas Iscariot. And it's very sad that one of his very own betrayed him. And you know, the thing that touches me is, I'm going ahead of myself, when Judas kisses Jesus, he said, do you betray the Son of Man with the kiss? In other words, Judas, you can change your mind. But Judas didn't change his mind. Okay, Jesus anointed at Bethany. When Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at dinner. Alabaster jar. In order to get the precious ointment out, you have to break the jar, which means every bit of the ointment has to be used on Jesus. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? You never waste when you're doing something for Jesus. Do we give him our praises? Our praises is like the oil of gladness on his feet. Do we give him our praises? Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. That's like the woman pouring the precious ointment on Jesus' head as he sat at dinner. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? It's no waste. When you put it on Jesus, it's not a waste. For the ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Now, Saint Francis was very much for the poor, but he always got the best for the Lord in the church. The best, he says, we need the best for the Lord. Why? Because it's for the Lord. It's not for us. He starved himself almost to death, but for the Lord, he would go out and get great and mighty and awesome things like altar cloths and whatever needed to be got, and they were for the Lord, and he didn't worry about the money. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Given to the poor. Here we have Jesus who's about to be crucified. There's no one poorer than Jesus, even though he's in charge. I'm telling you, Jesus needed that ointment, and we'll see what it was for. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why do you trouble this woman? For she hath brought a good work upon me. For you always have the poor with you, but I will not always be with you. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. It was for his burial. She was anointing his body for the burial of Jesus. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done to me, will be told as a memorial of her. And see, we're doing it now. That this gospel is being preached, we're thinking of this woman. We do not know who the woman was. We just know that she anointed Jesus for his burial. Do we anoint Jesus with our praises? Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Glory to you, Jesus. Ah, we honor you, Lord. We praise you. We bless you. We worship you. Do we anoint Jesus with our praises? Or is it, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me? Jesus, we worship you, we praise you, we bless you, we honor you, we adore you, we glorify you. Jesus, be praised in our assemblies. Jesus, be praised in our hearts. Jesus, we trust in you. We love you, we adore you, we bless you. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me if I deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray Jesus. 30 pieces of silver. Imagine that he sold his Lord for filthy lucre. This is the one that taught him. He was at his side. This Judas was at the side of Jesus. For years, Jesus was with them. And what happens? He covenants with the high priest to kill Jesus, to get Jesus killed. Very sad. It's sad when you see one of your own betray you. One of your own. It's hard enough when people betray you. But when one of your own slaps you in the face, it hurts triply, because this is the person that Jesus schooled. This is the person that Jesus taught. This is the person that Jesus ate with. This is the person that Jesus drank with. This is the person that betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Poor Judas Iscariot. That's all I can say. Poor Judas Iscariot. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And Jesus said, "Go into the city to such and such a man, and say unto the man, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Jesus knew where he wanted to eat the Passover. There will be a man that you're going to go to, and in another one it says you find a furnished upper room that's called the cenacle, the dining room. Now, when the evening had come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that one of you shall betray me." They were exceedingly sorrowful, and began everyone to tell, "Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord?" And he answered and said, "He that dips his hands with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had never been born." When Judas, who betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" Jesus said unto him, "You have said it." Imagine, one of his very own. We do not want to betray Jesus. We want to love Jesus. We want to be like that woman with the alabaster jar. We want to praise Jesus. We want to adore Jesus. We want to give Jesus our praises. We do not want to betray Jesus. I told you the story of the woman, Betty Foley, who was a nurse, and it was Good Friday, and she said to the Lord, "Lord, I do not want to betray you like Peter or like Judas today. I want to tell everybody about you." Well, anyway, she was in the train, and this man who was a preacher stood up and said, "Today is the day that Jesus Christ died for us on the cross. It's Good Friday. There's no other name that's called good but Good Friday, the day Jesus died on the cross." Then he said, "I love Jesus." Then he pointed to my friend Betty Foley. "What do you say about Jesus?" And she screamed out, "Jesus Christ is Lord." I tell you, the door opened and she left, but she gave witness to Jesus that day. She did not want to be like Peter. She did not want to be like Judas. She wanted to be like this, like praising God. She wanted not to deny the Lord. How often do we deny the Lord because we're ashamed? How often do we deny the Lord because we're ashamed? We go to a restaurant, will we say pray, grace, because we're ashamed? What if people see us? Who cares? Who cares if people see us? We go to the China Roma, and we prayed for Claire's knee, and she was healed. And then it started to kick up again, and we prayed again, and she says, "You know, it's getting better." So we pray for people in restaurants. I remember many years ago when we were at Lakeville, and we had not finished the service with the Hail Mary, which we always finish the service with the Hail Mary. There were people in the next booth, and they were talking about someone who had died. And so I interrupted them and says, "Who is it that died? We would want to pray for him." And he said, "Oh, our friend Father Joe Driscoll did the funeral." I said, "He's my classmate." And so we prayed for the people, if I remember correctly. We prayed for the people. And at the end of the prayer, there was the Ave Maria. This is in a restaurant. I have never heard an Ave Maria in a restaurant. And I knew that our work was finished because we had just heard the prayer to our Blessed Virgin Mother, the Ave Maria. And so we left, and we left filled with joy, because God had given us the ability to pray for these people. Ellie was with me that day. It's amazing what God knows how to do. It's amazing. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Hallelujah. Not "this is like my body." "This is my body." And he took the cup, or the chalice, the cup, and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink you all of it, for this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This was the institution of the Holy Eucharist. The institution of the Holy Eucharist. The Lord saved the best until last, that we receive his body and blood. Jesus said, "This is the bread come down from heaven. Unlike the bread that your fathers ate in the wilderness and died, those who eat this bread will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh for the life of the world to come. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the Father has sent me, so I live because of the Father. So he who eats of me will live because of me." This is totally amazing, that Jesus gave us his body and blood until he comes in glory. And then we will not need, you know, the body and blood of Jesus. We will see him face to face. But not until we see him face to face do we receive the Eucharist. We receive the Eucharist with humility and with love. We should bow before the sacred Eucharist. We should genuflect before the sacred Eucharist, because this is the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then said Jesus unto them, "All of you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd," Jesus, "and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad," the disciples. "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Oh, yes. Why Galilee? Because this is going to be the place of the Gentiles. The Gentiles will what? Will receive him. Oh, yes, the Jews, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But we must remember the apostles are all Jewish. They're all Jewish. And the first disciples were all Jewish. They're all Jewish. But he goes to Galilee because now he's going to open up salvation to the Gentiles, to the pagans. Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Peter had a big mouth, you know what I'm saying? And what does Jesus say? Jesus said unto Peter, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, this very night before the cock crows, you shall deny me three times." Not me, Lord. Not me, Lord, you see. Oh, yes, Jesus knew Jesus knew that the flock would be scattered. Jesus knew that people that he raised up would run away that night. Jesus knew that, and it must have hurt him because, you know, he poured his life into these apostles. He not only poured his words, but he poured his life into these apostles at the Eucharist. At the Eucharist, here we have the ordination of the first priests or the first bishops. For as often as you do this, you do it in memory of me. Memory means making present in the Greek. It doesn't mean thinking about. Let's continue. Peter said to him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said the disciples. It's very easy to open our mouths and say, "O Lord, not me, I will not deny you." It's very easy. And then when we are put under the gun, what do we do? My friend Betty Foley, the nurse, she screamed out, "Jesus Christ is Lord." Whenever we go to feed the poor, the first thing I scream out, "Jesus Christ is Lord." Then I ask the Lord to bless these people and to bless the food and to bless those who prepared it. But Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Do you know that today? That Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Lord of the living as well as those who have gone before him. He is the Lord. Then came Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane, which means the squeezing of the olive, and hath said unto the disciples, "Sit here while I go pray yonder." And he took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. What was happening? The sins of the world are starting to come into Jesus. This is what's happening. The Father is closing the door between Jesus and himself, and now he's becoming a sin offering. Then said he unto them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." In other words, what's the cup? Not dying on a cross. No. He came to die upon a cross. What is the cup? The cup of suffering that he was enduring in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was being crushed. Luke tells us something that the other apostles don't tell us, that Jesus sent an angel to encourage Jesus, to minister to Jesus. And he came to his disciples, and what did he find them doing? He found them all asleep and said unto Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Do you spend time with Jesus? Again, do you waste your praises on Jesus? They're never wasted. Do you pour out your praises upon Jesus? Hallelujah. If you speak in other languages, praise and glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Lord, and we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. You are the Lord, and we worship you. Yes. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. We worship him. Why? Because he is worthy of our worship. He is true man and true God, a true God and true man. Jesus is not someone that married Mary Magdalene, as some people say. Jesus was single, and he was true God and true man, and he still is true God and true man. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I want to invite you to the Days of Glory at the Crown Plaza Holiday Inn in Woburn, Massachusetts, between the 5th of November and the 8th of November. I want to invite you to the Days of Glory, where we come to give our praises to Jesus. Oh, we spend a long time praising the Lord. It's not only three or four songs. It's at least an hour every session of praising the Lord. So come to the Days of Glory between the 5th and the 8th of November. And don't forget to praise the Lord today and to pour out your praises upon him. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.